This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Junks. It's time now to head out to the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. We say good morning to Ryan Wilson, NFL writer for CBS Sports. He's in Indianapolis covering the combine. What's up, Ryan? How are you?
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
We're doing well. So this is where it really ramps up for you. Maybe you probably had time for a vacation, like after the Super Bowl. Hopefully you took some time off. But now with the combine, free agency starting March 10th, actually fully March 12th, but the tampering period tampering. March 10th, yeah. Then the draft, like it's real. This is now it's real for you.
Yeah, I covered the draft too, so I didn't get any time off. It's going to be real until May 3rd or whatever after the draft ends. But I'm in it. Glad to have a job. And actually, I love the draft part of this. So this is actually, you know, every team is undefeated right now. Every fan has hope, and this is sort of where it all starts for fans to try to talk themselves into certain players being good fits, and obviously the quarterbacks is where it starts.
You know, one of our local guys, John Kime, who works for ESPN.com, he said that that last year the Commanders, all at one theme that they had is every single draft pick, and I think if not all, but most of their undrafted guys that they signed, they all were interviewed at the combine, if they were at the combine. Is that list made available to the media, like who teams interview?
I think there are some hardworking online media folks that actually compile the list. A lot of times what happens here, and it's sort of a media scrum if you see it on television,
yeah,
is that media folks will ask players either off to the side or while they're on the podium, have you talked to so-and-so? And a lot of times, and you'll see the list come out online as we get closer to the draft, and you know, you see everyone's going to talk to the quarterbacks or whatever. But the Dallas Cowboys historically have had a pretty good history in terms of correlation between guys they talk to or guys they bring in for 30 visits and guys they end up taking.
Right.
That's interesting, but there's no sort of, I don't think the league does anything with that.
It's not an official list. Yeah. Gotcha.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So Ryan, the Titans land the number one pick in a quarterback class, and they obviously need a quarterback that's not clear cut like last year. Last year, everybody knew Caleb Williams was going number one. Everybody knew that Jaden Daniels was going to be picked by the Commanders at number two. It's pretty much a gray area for the Titans. Like, what do you see them doing? Do you see them making a trade for a veteran and going elsewhere? Do you see them picking Cam Ward at the top of the draft? There's a lot of different ways that the new Titans GM, Mike Borgonzi, could go with this pick. What do you think the Titans do at number one?
If you're trading for a veteran or trying to acquire a veteran, I think the only one that makes sense in terms of the guys we've been talking about is probably Matthew Stafford. I don't know if Matthew Stafford wants to go to Nashville or play for the Titans or any of that, but just in terms of on-field productivity, he feels like the quickest fix to get you where you want to go because there's the certainty of who Matthew Stafford is. Cam Ward's my QB1, but to your point, if he were in last year's draft class, he's probably QB4 or 5. And that's the concern. You got to get the quarterback right. And you talk about the Commanders. They got almost virtually every pick right last year. Mm-hmm. And that shows you how you can turn an organization around when you get the quarterback right, the GM and the head coach. And we'll see where the Titans are with the GM and the head coach. But I like Cam Warden. If you're not getting a trading for a veteran, I'm taking Cam Ward there, and you just got to fix everything else. So there's a ton of stuff to fix, offensive line, wide receiver. But if you feel comfortable with someone like Matthew Stafford and you can make that work financially and whatever the compensation has to be, I'm jumping at that, because then you trade out of that pick, get more picks, and then you surround Matthew Stafford with some guys that can help them win in what is, you know, annually a wide open division.
So, Ryan, I'm biased because I had him on my college fantasy team, but I saw that you wrote in your column about Syracuse's quarterback, Kyle McCord. Where is he likely to go? I see that you were banging the drum on Spencer Rattler last year, and Kyle McCord's your new Rattler.
Yeah, I'm a huge Kyle McCord fan. I live in Syracuse, so it was fun to see that team sort of turn things around finally. Mm-hmm. Kyle McCord had a ton to do with that. I talked to Kyle at the Shrine Bowl, and I told him that he's my Spencer Rattler this year, and he didn't know quite what to make of that, whether that was a good thing or not. But he said, look, I learned a lot, and he says when you play with confidence, you can do things that maybe you can't do otherwise. And I think, he didn't say this, but these are my words, I think being the big fish in the little pond in Syracuse gave him that confidence that he needed. And, you know, he was throwing with anticipation. He's making big throws. He's 6'2", so he's a little bigger than I thought he was going to be. The size isn't an issue, and he's going to interview off the charts. And, you know, I talked to a couple of his teammates while we were there, the Shrine Bowl and even the Senior Bowl, and to a person they said this guy made it a point the moment he arrived in January the year before to make sure we were all on the same page to what we need to do. And I think he has a chance to be a day two guy. Now, I thought about Spencer last year. We'll see. Mm-hmm. But his wide receiver class is so wide open. There's a huge push for Jackson Dart, and I understand why. But I feel like Kyle McCord's gotten short shrift in a sense, because if you just arrived from Mars and you watch that last game of the regular season, Syracuse versus Miami, Cam Ward versus – you would not know who the number one quarterback was based on the way those two guys played, because they went after each other. And, mm-hmm. and I think that's sort of a testament to who Kyle is.
Ryan, Travis Hunter, does he slip past the top three, which would be Tennessee, Cleveland, Giants? New England's at four. Obviously, New England doesn't need a quarterback. You could argue those other three teams do. I would even throw Cleveland in there. But do you think Travis Hunter slips past the top three and lands with the Patriots at four?
The only way, well, there are obviously a couple ways. I think if teams, one of those three teams like Abdul Carter, the edge rusher out of Penn State,
right,
in terms of being a better fit in Cleveland, that would make some sense if Myles Garrett's moving on, or if obviously Cam Warden and Shedeur Sanders. It's going to be interesting this week because Shador's not throwing. I haven't seen yet if Cam's going to throw or not. Typically, these guys don't throw here now. They'll do it at their pro day. But how teams are going to view Shador, because the physical tools aren't as explosive, if you will, as Cam Ward. His arm isn't as big. He's not going to be as tall. He's not as good an athlete. And that may be in part why he's not throwing, and I understand all that. But, you know, if you're the Giants, are you going to risk that? So I think there's a chance Travis falls. I'll say 35% he falls outside of the top three, but he's a layup. I'm taking that guy and feeling great about it if I need a player like that.
Right.
We're joined by Ryan Wilson, NFL writer for CBS Sports. He's in Indianapolis covering the scouting combine. So this is kind of draft related. What do we make of the Giants hiring Chad Hall as the new assistant quarterbacks coach? He's Matt Stafford's brother-in-law. Now I just feel like Matt Stafford's a lock to get traded to the Giants because his brother-in-law is on the staff. Does that make any sense? Am I a wacky conspiracy theorist? Talk me off the ledge on this one.
No, it's like when your high school buddy who's a one-star and you're a five-star gets a scholarship to the same college you're going to. I mean, we can do the math on that. I don't hate it just in terms from a conspiracy theory standpoint, because the Giants have tried to figure out this quarterback situation. They haven't gotten it right. And, you know, at some point you got to get off drafting these guys and maybe have to trade for someone. And if that's what it takes to get Matthew Stafford there, and it's a big market and all the other stuff that comes to play in New York, it makes all the sense in the world. This week is going to solve a lot in terms of what Matthew Stafford, where he ends up. I'm still not clear why the Rams aren't trying to keep him, but we'll find that out as well. But yeah, whatever it takes to get the quarterback, we've seen the frustration from the ownership in New York, and Matthew Stafford would go a long way in solving at least the quarterback problem. They have some other things to sort through, but if they get their guys healthy, I think they have a chance to at least be competitive. I mean, you're talking about the Commanders and the Eagles in that division, but I say it all the time. You can have 21 Hall of Famers on your roster. If you don't have a quarterback, you're not going to win playoff games.
Ryan, we see teams shying away from taking running backs in the top 10. Is Ashton Jeanty going to break that that trend? Where do you see him going? What team is a good fit? Where do you think he gets selected in the first round?
Dallas is sort of the obvious choice at 12. We'll see if the team before that is interested in him. And I love Jeanty, and I think he should be his name should be uttered in the same breath as Bijan Robinson and Jahmyr Gibbs. He's that sort of special.
Wow.
The difference is this, and we'll find out in a couple of days how tall he is. I don't care if he's 5'6", but he very well may be 5'6". Is that something that your analytics say you have to be wary about for running back? I don't know why, but if that could affect his draft stock a little bit. I think he's a top 15 guy all day long. The other issue is that this running back class is so incredibly deep that there are going to be guys drafted on day three that are going to be contributors. And I think that may depress his value a little bit, but I do think we're coming back around on the running back. And, you know, someone might say, well, he didn't catch a lot of passes for Boise State this year. Go back and watch 2023. He caught a ton of passes and he has great hands. And I think he's going to be an asset in the pass game and a lot, you know, similar to what Jahmyr Gibbs has been able to do in Detroit.
I don't know where these guys will fall, but Amarian Hampton from Carolina, stud. Trevion Henderson can move. I don't know where he'll fall, but he'll be a contributor. I like LaQuinn Allen from Syracuse. I mean, you're right, man. There's a bunch of guys that you could get on day two and third, fourth, fifth round that are going to be good in the league.
Yeah, and Trevion is a track guy. I think he ran like a 10.8, something crazy.
Man, that kid is so fast.
Yeah, so he can move. And, you know, typically if the running back runs a 4.6, no one cares. But he has the added bonus of being incredibly fast. I think Hampton has a chance to go early on day two. There's been some first-round buzz. We'll see. I don't know how many running backs since thinks in the first round.
Right.
And LaQuinn Allen, I think he's 20. He may not even be 21 yet. We talked to him at the Senior Bowl, and he's came off a great season. He came out a year early. So you can go down the list. The kid from Virginia Tech, Tootin's another really good running back. Mm-hmm. So if you need something, an offensive lineman or an edge rusher or whatever, round one, you'll find a running back that you'll probably be pretty happy with if you wait till day two or day three.
Talking to Ryan Wilson from CBS Sports, NFL Insiders covering the Combine, but he also has a podcast called With the First Pick. And you had been doing that with Rick Spielman, who took a job with the Jets. I guess you did a farewell pod with Spielman. A year ago, he was involved in the coaching search here in Washington. Was he a Quinn guy all along? Like, what did you learn kind of afterwards? I guess it was Spielman and Bob Myers trying to shake things up for Josh Harris. What did you learn about Josh Harris and kind of that whole process?
Yeah, no, I think he and Dan may have worked together in the early 2000s in Miami, too. So he had a history with Dan, and Rick has been around so long that he knows everybody. But he liked Dan a lot, and I gave him a hard time about that one picture of Dan Quinn leaving the interview. Remember, he's standing in line, TSA. I said, Rick, you guys couldn't even put him on the private jet. You just stuck him in line. Oh, I had nothing to do with that. But he was a huge Dan fan, and he loved Adam Peters, and he and Adam Peters had a lot of conversations after he was hired, and just sort of Rick's perspective on how you want to run an organization. And Rick didn't pick the coach. I think the way I understand it is he helped Josh find the GM, and then after that, it was sort of Adam and Josh deciding what direction to go. But I remember he was in on the calls, and one of the things he told Adam, he said, you know, you want your coach to be, it's like a marriage. So, you know, you can fall in love with a high school cheerleader, but maybe something more practical and long-term would be in your best interest. And it feels like year one, those two guys knocked it out of the park. And I don't know if it could have gone any better. And I'm sure it was a breath of fresh air for at least the Commanders fans I know and that were accustomed to how things had been.
Do you think, and I don't know to revisit it, but I mean, do you think that Ben Johnson was ever their top target?
I think they liked Ben from what I understood. And then Ben, the sense I got was he sort of backed out because he wanted to return to Detroit for one more year. The reasons why weren't clear to me.
Is he the high school cheerleader?
We'll find out, right? So we'll see if he and Caleb are sort of the high school, the quarterback and the cheerleader, how that works out. But the other thing, and I always say this, and I talked to Rick about this, is we ask these coordinators who are crushing it as offensive defensive coordinators, and we promote them to jobs they're wholly unequipped to do because it's a completely different job. It's one thing to be an offensive coordinator. It's another thing to be the CEO of a virtually a company of 53 people. And that's the transition that sometimes takes some time. And I think, obviously, Dan Campbell is a great example of how that works out. And I don't think he was a coordinator ever. Dan Quinn, obviously, is really good at it. He had the experience of doing it, and he's a really good people person. We'll see how Ben Johnson works in terms of, we know he's smart. Can he relate to these players and get the most out of them?
Mm-hmm. Brian, last question for me. So we were kind of talked about the teams that need quarterbacks up at the top, but there are some other teams that certainly need quarterbacks. I mean, Pittsburgh is going to need a quarterback. Maybe they go with Fields. I would doubt it, but they, you know, they're going to need a quarterback. The Jets need a quarterback. The Raiders are drafting at 6, need a quarterback with a new coach. Maybe, you know, they're not high on those, you know, Cam Ward and Sanders. Maybe they go out and get a veteran. But out of those veterans, Fields, Russell Wilson, Cousins, Stafford, Rodgers, can you kind of predict, in your own opinion, where some of these guys might fall? What's a good fit for them?
And you're right, it's slim pickings because
it really is.
Stafford's number one, and Aaron Rodgers maybe can get behind, but he's 41, and then you got to deal with all the sort of quirkiness that comes with Aaron Rodgers, and is that worth it if you're a young team and trying to build? It didn't work out in New York, obviously. And this is part of the reason I think that whoever lands Matthew Stafford, especially if it's the Titans, then the snowball sort of goes from there. You can trade down if you want to, and then maybe a team like the Raiders have to trade up and get a guy they love. And there's the talk, of course, about the relationship that Tom Brady and Sanders have. I don't know if that's enough to move the needle. You have all the other people in the scouting part of the GM that have to also make that decision. But the Raiders specifically, I think they're at 7. They need a quarterback in the worst way. And last year they picked 13th, so they missed out on the top 6. They went in the top 12. And they got Brock Bowers, which is a grand slam. But if you're the Steelers, you might be in a worse situation because you're 21st. And Russ Wilson's okay. Justin Fields is a little less than okay. And Mike Tomlin wins just enough games to keep them out of position to draft a quarterback, and they're sort of in purgatory. So there's a lot of things that need to get sorted out, and you know the musical chairs thing is going to be one in which a couple teams are going to be getting the short end of the stick when it comes to whoever the quarterbacks are left that you have to sign and sort of roll with in 2025.
And then if Stafford leaves and goes wherever, the Rams need a quarterback.
Right. Yeah, and that doesn't make sense in what the LA's doing either. I agree.
Yeah. Ryan, great catching up with you. Enjoy the rest of your week in Indy. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, guys.
Yep, that's Ryan Wilson, NFL writer for CBS Sports. He's in Indianapolis covering the Combine. He was on the Rude Guest Hotline. Coming up later, we'll be joined by Barry Zwerluga. We'll talk Nats and Caps with him. He's coming on the show at 8:40.